and, in short, was a place where a reasonably curious human being could easily squander half a lifetime. But I didn't think Ryvich would spend much time there before making his way down to Yellowstone's surface. He would want to lose himself in Chasm City as quickly as possible. Either way, I wouldn't be far behind him. Still fighting nausea, I crawled into the commons and looked around at the dozen or so fellow passengers in the sphere. Although everyone was at liberty to float at whatever angle they liked, at the moment the slow boat's engines were off, everyone had anchored themselves the same way up. I found a vacant wall strap, fed my elbow into it, and surveyed my fellow slush puppies with what I knew would appear only casual interest. They were clustered into twos and threes, talking quietly while a spherical servitor moved through the air, impelled by tiny fans. The servitor moved from group to group, offering services which it dispensed from a compendium of hatches around its body. It reminded me of a hunter-seeker drone, silently selecting its next target.
"You needn't look so nervous, friend," someone said in thick, slurred Russish. "It's just a robot."
I was losing my edge. I'd been unaware of anyone sidling up to me. Languidly, I turned to look at the man who had spoken. I was confronted by a wall of meat blocking half the commons. His pink, raw-looking face was triangular, anchored to his torso by a neck thicker than my thigh. His hairline began only a centimeter or so above his eyebrows. Long black hair lacquered back over the roughly hewn boulder that was his scalp. His wide, down-curved mouth was framed by a thick black mustache and a beard that was no more than a razor-thin line of hair, tracing the enormous width of his jaw. He had his arms crossed in front of his chest like a Cossack dancer, hypertrophied muscles bulging through the fabric of his coat. It was a long, quilted coat, sewn with rough patches of stiff, glistening fabric, which caught the light and refracted it back in a million spectral glints. His eyes stared through me rather than at me, and seemed not to be focused on quite the same thing, as if one were glass. Trouble, I thought. "Nobody's nervous," I said.
"Eh, talkative guy."
The man anchored himself to the wall next to me.
"I just make conversation, da?"
"That's good. Now go and make it somewhere else."
"Why you so unfriendly? You not like Vadim, friend?"
"I was prepared to give you the benefit of the doubt," I said, answering him in Norte, even though I could more or less get by in Russish. "But on balance, no, I don't think I do, and until we're better acquainted, I'm not your friend. Now go away and let me think."
"I think about it."
The servitor lingered near us. Oblivious to the increasing tension between us, its dumb processor soldiered on, addressing us as a pair of fellow travellers, asking what services we might require. Before the huge man could say anything or even move, I told the servitor to supply me with a scopolamine dextrose shot. It was the oldest and cheapest anti-nausea drug in the book. Like all the passengers, I had established a shipboard credit account for the duration of the journey, although I was only half certain I had the funds to cover the scopdex. But the servitor obliged, a hatch popping open to reveal a disposable hypodermic. I took the hypo, rolled up my sleeve and slammed the needle into a vein, just as if I was readying myself for a possible biological warfare attack.
"Eh, you do that like pro. No hesitation."
The man spoke with what sounded like genuine admiration, shifting to slow, slurred Norte.
"What are you, doctor?"
I rolled my sleeve over the upwelling mark